It's a little bit sidetracking, but I'll tell you what his reaction would be like. You see, the infantile reaction is that based upon the emotions we spoke about before, that all these things are burdens, and I'll be good because after all, I don't want to do anything wrong, and God gave me the Torah, I have to keep the Torah, and I'm helping God with his assistance. That's the infantile idea. But the true reaction to Torah would be the same reaction that a person would have to, let's say an individual would come up with an area of chokhmah that would be very beneficial to a person's life. How would you relate to that individual? You'd be very thankful. You'd say, this person, look how much he helped us, look how much he helped us in improving our lives because of this chokhmah that he discovered. You see? So you'd feel a recognition and an indebtedness and a gratitude towards that person. Now, how should a person feel towards someone that gave him a whole total picture with which he can improve his life? He has to feel tremendous gratitude. That's the way a person should feel towards God insofar as the Torah is concerned, so far as giving us the Torah. That's the natural feeling that a person would feel. If a person doesn't have his crazy fantasies, and he just would look at it realistically, he would react towards God in the same way that he would react towards the greatest benefactor. If an individual would give you something and uncover an area of science that would help your life, you'd feel indebted to that person, right? Kal vachomer, if someone would uncover a whole system that could give you a tremendously enjoyable life, you'd certainly feel a tremendous gratitude. The system of Torah is one which gives once a person understands it, and he sees what it does for him, and he sees how it changes his whole life in every area and gives him that which is really chiyus, so he has to feel a sense of gratitude towards the one who gave him that. Who is that? That's God. That's the being that gave it to us. But a person's infantile demands from God, you see, because it prevents him from seeing himself in a realistic position. And the real true position that a person should see himself in is that, God doesn't owe him anything. He's just in existence. And God gave him this fantastic work in which he could improve his life. His response should be one of tremendous hakaras hatov. That's really what the bracha is. Unfortunately, people harbor in their own minds, in the back of their minds, certain childish demands from God for their happiness. You see? And they can't look at themselves realistically and understand their true position. They're just beings on a planet in the universe, and a supreme being comes along and gives them a way to improve their life. What should your response be? The Gemara says in Pesachim, Avda Demark Rabbi Lecheres. The Gemara is a similar analogy. Gemara Pesachim by the Seder, by one of the Amoraim. So the Gemara, so one of the Amoraim asked his servant. He says, Avda Demark the Mapik Rabbi Lecheres, my boy le Mavid lay. He says, I think it's more or less lushy. What is the praise that we should feel towards God on the night of Pesach? So he asked his Eved, he says, if you're a slave, a man is enslaved, and his master sets him free, what should he do? What should his response be? What should his reaction be? So the Eved answered him, he says, Boy l'shvuchi, l'adui l'shvuchi. You should praise that master. He says, that's the natural response. You see, so if God gives a person Yetzias Mitzrayim, so his natural response should be, you would praise a person who did that for you, wouldn't you praise him? So that's the natural response a person should have towards God. The problem is that why people don't feel that way is because of a psychological corruption, because of a certain infantile psychological corruption where a person undergoes certain, I can't go into the details of the phenomena, but just to describe them, and basically it's like he has an identification with God, or he has infantile demands from God because he's not, he isn't satisfied, you see, and he feels God has to give him what, and he's upset about everything that goes wrong because God didn't help him. It's an immaturity. The person would recognize his position, what his position is. He's just a being that's on this planet, and someone came along and gave him a tremendous blessing, something which is a tremendous good for him, his response has to be, that's the way his response should be. That's the natural response. See, if a person doesn't overcome these infantile emotions, his whole idea of Shevach LaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be distorted. He can't really be Meshavach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see? Has to be distorted. Person doesn't recognize what his place is. I mean, what are we? We're just beings that exist in a certain limited plan, a certain situation. And someone comes along and gives us something which is a blessing. What should our response be? You see? That's the realistic response. But the unfortunately, the human mind is convoluted, and it doesn't see things properly. It's distorted, and therefore his whole relationship to God is distorted. See, that's what that Gemara mentioned. That's an important, it's a side point. I think it's a very important point that a person wants to understand. He wants to experience the true nature of Shvacha Shel Makom, of understanding Shvacha Shel Makom. The person, we're not entitled to anything. We just have to respond to our benefactor. And our greatest benefactor is God, and therefore the natural should be a natural response, just like any other external benefactor you would respond that way to. You see? That requires a certain maturity of mind that a person has to recognize his position, what he is. Yes. That's why really Tefillah incorporates both of those aspects, you see? That's the Chachmas HaTorah is very important, because in Chachma you start realizing the reality of the abstract, and through that you can realize you can understand better. Get closer to the comprehension of the existence of God, because God is abstract. That's one of the that's essentially why Talmud Torah is so important. But what I'm trying to say is, on the other hand, that's a difficulty, right? But I'm trying to say there's another difficulty. The difficulty is in the fact that we make these certain assumptions that are false in the back of our mind. In that, if you make those assumptions, certain demands, a certain identification, a misidentification, or certain unconscious demands, then he doesn't feel. On the contrary, I mean, God created us, he has to do this, he has to give me this, he has to do that. What do you mean? How do you know? How do you, can you decide what he has to do? And all you can do is take what is given. What is given is your existence. And then, beyond that, if someone is a benefactor, so you're chayav to be mishabayach, and that means that a person understands his position. But someone one time told me that at the Rav's house at the night of the Seder, and the Rav, when he said Hallel, like he said, he was Hallel, like it looked like the way he did it was like he just went out of Mitzrayim. I mean, a tremendous outpouring of Shevach Vador to God. That can only be achieved by a person who recognizes position and doesn't take for granted anything else than that which he sees about his nature, and then he recognizes God as a benefactor. See, it's a very important psychological. I mean, it has nothing to do with this. A side point, but Agav Orcha, I think it's important to mention. Otherwise, the whole meaning of brachas and shevach v'edor is absent. Is lost. It's lost. It cannot be appreciated. I don't care how firm a person is. He cannot have such a concept of Shevach Vaidor to God as long as he isn't able to understand this basic idea, what he has to take as given. You see? It's the given. If you don't have the given, then the Shevach Vaidor has no meaning. That's why really the Gemara says with regard to Pesach, Maschu Begnai, Messiahim B'Shevach. If you're not Maschu Begnai, you can't be Messiahim B'Shevach. If you have Maschu Begnai means, to look at the reality of what your situation was before. And never mind your assumptions. Your assumptions are infantile demands on the reality, which don't exist. But be realistic for a moment and look at what the given is. What's the given and what's the result? If you can't do that, then you can't understand what it means. It's a difficult thing, but at least it's important to see what the approach is. What the approach is. Yes? Well, let me explain something. So this is the question is with regard to human suffering. But I want you to understand something. See, we're not talking about that right here. In other words, that is another part of the presumptuous human mind. That a person understands everything that happens, exactly how God is doing it and what God is doing and whether God is doing. He understands precisely how God is doing it. I mean, I mean, when I say weather, I don't mean that there's anything that's outside of God. Anything that happens is from God. But what I mean is whether it's a direct action of God, whether it's a... We don't know. A person who assumes these things, that he has such a knowledge about the Ashgacha, you see, that he knows exactly what's happening and that God is doing this to him. He knows that it's bad. He knows that it's that God is doing this intentionally to him, so to speak. I mean, what? Is a result of an infantile, again, is a result of the infantile. Because it's simply a projection onto God of his own infantile emotions. To understand the Ashgacha is a tremendous chokmah. And you see, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand it until he reached one of the highest levels. And that was he understood the Ashgacha was the Inyanos Rechacha. Now, once a person realizes that, he has to know immediately that he has no knowledge whatsoever with regard to the details of his life in the Ashgacha. Of course, he doesn't. He doesn't have any knowledge. So therefore, there should be no feelings in relationship to that area, because he simply has no knowledge in that area. But there is an area that he does have knowledge, and that is Matan Torah. He knows that God gave the Torah. So if he would delete the areas that he thinks he has knowledge from, and he would and he thinks that he has knowledge about, and if he would just look at the areas that he does have knowledge about, then the natural result would be that he would be able to say the bracha of Asher Bracha Abana Mikola Amen with true kavanah. You see? That would be the result. Unfortunately, it's because of the person's assumptions that he sort of acts out or lives or feels in his own life. Anything that happens to him becomes his metaphysics. Most people's metaphysics is really not on a very high level. Just an interaction of certain emotions. He's acting out certain childish emotions, and that's the extent of his metaphysics. But Yadus teaches us that this is not true. Because if that was so Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have to reach such a tremendously high level to understand anything about the Ashgacha, you see. So what I'm trying to say is that it's again a part of man's presumptuous nature, and it belongs to that area of the infantile that I mentioned before. If you remove that from your life, and you remove what you don't know, and you just look at what you do know, then you'd have to be Meshabeach. That's a difficult thing to do, but especially if a person has a difficult life, and I'm not saying, you know, that there aren't people that have difficult lives and that we shouldn't be compassionate toward them. It's a chiyuv on our part to have rachmanis and to try to help people be compassionate. But we should not confuse that with metaphysics. Metaphysics is a different area. The problem is that most people, what they do in their lives, is anything happens in their lives, they project an image of onto God, an image as if that was a man, and therefore they'd be very angry at somebody that does that to them. That's a false concept. That's a false concept. What I'm saying is not that one should personify God as a man. What I'm saying is a person should react to God when he's a benefactor as he would to any benefactor. That's a natural response. Given that I have no knowledge of God, God must remain in our mind always an unknown, a blank. There's no way that we could have any... The problem with those people who are involved, who complain, is because they personify God. They attach a personality to God. That is improper. That we have to realize that we have no such thing. We have no such knowledge. That's why when the Rambam and the Mora talks about all the troubles of Eve and the troubles that occur to people, so the Rambam says, but most people live pretty well. So you ask the question, yeah, but what about the unfortunate person that's not living so well? But the point is, if you look at it in an immature way, if you look at it in an emotional way, so then your mind is going to be fixed on the person that's suffering. But that we have no idea about how God works in particular. But this much we can't say. We can't say that you see a creation in front of you, which on the most part, man lives in a good way. That certainly demands recognition, and certainly demands praise. They don't want to see that because they're tied up in their particular area.
Yeah, but I think sometimes
Chazan are not saying to use personification. That's a dangerous instrument because then you get involved with the bordering on the avodah zarah there. What Chazal is saying is not to use personification, but Chazal is saying that a person should use the analogy of being the recipient of a benefactor. There, you should certainly, if a person would do this for you, so you would react in a certain way. So to God, you must react in the same way, but not a personification of God. Then the person's just acting out his own infantile complexes. That's not a level. Okay, so we're in the Rabbeinu Yonah. We're in the second part of this memra. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says that Kol Shemasav Marub Mechachmasa Chachmasa Meskayemas. Anyone whose actions are greater than his knowledge, so his chachma, his knowledge, remains with him. And anyone whose knowledge exceeds his actions, his knowledge does not remain with him. Okay. So now Rabbeinu Yonah asks a powerful question. He says like this. So he says it means that his desire for chachma exceeds his chachma. So this means that his desire for chachma means that his recognition that the world works according to reality, and his desire to have his soul in line with reality, is his prime motivation. So such a person, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, keeps on gaining all his life, and constantly makes progress. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah says, Aval yesh lishol. So there's a question here that we have to raise. Eichef shelios ma'isav meruba mechachmasa. Says, how is it possible to have such a phenomenon? That his action should be greater than his chachma. How is it possible? Ve'im eini yadei ha-tarva mitzvos. If the man doesn't have any knowledge of the Torah of the mitzvos, v'chiyesh lo lasos ha-maisim ha-eila ha-ma'asom. How is it possible for a person to do actions? I mean, in Yadus, you can't do anything unless you have knowledge. Without knowledge, you can't do anything. So how is it possible to say that his actions are greater than his knowledge? It's a logical impossibility. Okay? That's his question. Because everything, in other words, the only benefit that a person really gains, and why is it that the Torah is constructed in such a way that every mitzvah requires... A CSM mitzvah requires such a careful analysis of any performance you do, is so intricate, and so deep, conceptual, you have to understand it. Because that's really the benefit of the Asiyah. That the Asiyah should be an Asiyah of Chochmah. But if a person just does something, he doesn't know what he's doing. That's an advantage? What does it mean his Maisim exceed his Chochmah? Well, how's the problem? What kind of a mice is it? It's a mice of Kof Balma. It has no value. So Rabbeinu answers like this. He says, Oh, Shazos and Mishnah Dibra Lefi Eitza Tova, No'o Omukabelas. He says, but this Mishnah is really giving advice for a person. Lemisha Eina Yodea, for a person who doesn't have any knowledge. Leval Yovad Nafsho, in order that he shouldn't lose his soul. He says this is giving a person, this mission is giving advice to a person who really isn't on a level where he has full knowledge of everything. Alright? In other words, saying like this. Person that has that really has reached the level of a great Talmud Chacham, so he can't speak anymore. He can't say that his maisim exceed his knowledge. It's impossible. Everything he does it in the proper way. He's doing it with knowledge. So how could his actions exceed his knowledge? And whatever he's doing with Chacham. So, but this Mishnah is giving advice to a person who is yet at the stage where he didn't reach his full level of knowledge. And it's telling him, giving him a suggestion as to how he should go about his life. So what should he do? So what he should do is that he should accept upon himself that he's going to do everything the Chachamim tell him. And he won't turn astray right or left. As soon as he knows what they expect from him. That's the Pasuk al Piyatashi Ruchal Mishrash Yom Chasasa. He says, "Umiyad shekibla kazos, shekabala kazos, yikabal atzmo, belev of sholem ubenefesh chafetzo." And the moment the person accepts upon himself, with his complete heart and the willingness of his soul, He says, "My law of schar kilu kiyum kol mitzvos." Then he has the reward. This idea alone gives him the reward, as if he was, as if he accepted all the mitzvos. He says, "Al derech zu amar kol shemayis av mur mechachmasa." Yaf mi she'eni yodei aveina osa. Nikroim ma'isav al shem ki yesh lo schar aleihem. Kilu asoin mipi ha-kabbalah. What schar? He still has reward because he did them based upon the Kabbalah, based upon the Masorah. And so, v'chem ha-forsh rav shab nasa. It's not. Kol shem ma'isav mur mechachmasa, chachmasa meskayemes. Anyone whose actions exceed his knowledge remains with him. Shenem, our pasuk says, nasev v'nishma. What is nasev v'nishma? Shekdimu Yisrael ha'asiyah la'ashmiyah. Because the Jews, first they said that they will do, and then they said that they will understand. They will listen and understand. So the so you have the same problem. Lo'ya lam lama, they should have said just the opposite. Nishma v'nasa. How could you do something before you understand? You don't know what to do. So if you're talking on the level of performing, with doing a performance which is a knowledgeable one, it doesn't make any sense to say nasa v'nishma. What do you mean you'll do and then you'll understand? In order to do, you have to understand what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. So first it's nishma. We have to, you can't keep a halacha without knowing what it is. So before you keep the halacha, so you have to understand all the intricacies of the halacha. So it should have said nishma v'nasa. So how come it says the reverse, nasa v'nishma? You see, that which everybody accepts is a double pashut. Is really a big kasha. People always just accept the point. Nasa v'nishma, that's the greatness. But you see that on the contrary, right? In faith, yeah. But you see on the contrary, it doesn't make any sense for any on the side. It doesn't make any sense, nasa v'nishma. Should be the opposite. For the that's what the Avasar of Nasa says. Should have been nishma v'nasa. Kikodim shiyichu lasa says hamasa, because before they do the action, shiyichu l'shma mayasu. They have to understand what exactly they're doing and how to do it. I mean, they had to be machshir kelim. They have to understand how to be machshir kelim. It's a whole science. So it has to be first nishma and then nasa. What do you mean nasa and nishma? It doesn't make any sense. Elo, he says, shekiblu aleihem tchila lasos kol asher yetzav aleihem v'yishmo u'miyad kiblu schar ki'ilu asom. So what does it mean? You can't say that you intend to do it before you know what to do. You can't keep a single halacha without understanding. Maybe accidentally, but you can't do it. That's not called nasa. Every halacha is very difficult. Complications. How are you going to do it? You don't understand. That's the question. He's right. Les is right. There's two types of knowledge. There's a knowledge with regard to the asiyas and mitzvos, which means that a person has to know what exactly he's doing halachically, how he could do it, and he has to understand the intricacies of the halacha. That's one kind of knowledge. Then there's something else. Then there's knowledge with regard to the conviction of the benefit of the system, philosophical knowledge. See, philosophical knowledge. So philosophical knowledge, halachic knowledge, you can't do without. Person can't do, there's no such thing as asiyah without halachic knowledge, because you don't know how to do it. But then there's philosophical knowledge. Now, philosophical knowledge, in the area of philosophical knowledge leads to conviction. In order for a person to keep the Torah, he has to have conviction. Conviction that the Torah is true, that this is the best way of life. Otherwise, he can't do anything. So the conviction that this is the best way of life basically stems from knowledge, which means after he understands the whole system and he sees why it's correct, so then he does it. Philosophical conviction. That's like the conviction of a philosopher. A philosopher who leaves Taivasa Olam Hazer, and there were many philosophers like that, and just engaged in Chachma Salokim, and they live a life of Chachma, a life removed from the Taivas. So like a Socrates, for instance, so that's a person that is on a very high level. Where did his conviction come from, though? His conviction came from his investigating the areas, from investigation, philosophical investigation. And this is a great conviction. However, what he's saying is like this. So there is no Eitzah. There is no Eitzah. According to that, there is no Eitzah for a person of the world to ever have a Nas of a Nishma. It's impossible. It has to always be Nishma of a Nas. But there is one way that you can have a conviction and a commitment to a philosophical way of life, even though you don't have the knowledge that this philosophical way of life is correct. How is that possible? If you have an extraneous source, an authoritative source, that tells you that this is the correct way of life, then even though you don't understand it, you don't understand why it is the correct way of life, but a great authority tells you that it is the correct way of life, so then you can have the conviction that it is the correct way of life, even though you don't understand philosophically why it is so. Now that situation is only possible in one case. Which case is that? That's on Maamar Har Sinai. Maamar Har Sinai. Without Maamar Har Sinai, there is no such a phenomenon. In the world, there's no such a phenomenon. Because why should I rely on Socrates or Plato or another philosopher? There are many philosophers. How do you know who's the right philosopher? If you know, so then it's Nishma. And if you don't know, so then there's no rational way of coming to a decision. A doctor is different. Why? Because by a doctor you see results. A physician, you see results. You can say, I can look at the record, look at the results. He cured 40 people. He had 40 patients. He cured all 40. So then he's a great man. But in philosophy, it's very tricky, because in philosophy the results are not very obvious. We're talking about the soul, and that's the difficulty that you have today with the psyche. Even the psyche, they can't do anything in the area, because it's hard to see the results. Once you get away from the physical, it's very difficult to see results. So in philosophy, it's impossible to see results. They say it's the best that I've seen. Okay, fine. But the best that you've seen might not be the best that there is, and it might be completely wrong. So what you should do is, I could see that you could follow tentatively, say, well, look, he's pretty intelligent, I'll follow him along and see if I can really gain knowledge of what he's saying. But if you don't gain any knowledge, you're not going to really have a total conviction. It's a temporary thing. At best, it's a temporary thing. But there is only one case where it's possible to know that you have a correct philosophical system, even though you don't understand it. And that is only Maamar Har Sinai, because God is the authority. That's the only situation possible. And that's the meaning of Nasa Venishma. Kol HaShadiber Hashem Nasa Venishma. Nasa Venishma means that when they saw Maamar Har Sinai, they said there's a new phenomena over here. A new phenomena that was never possible before. The phenomena is that it's possible for a person to have total conviction even though he has no knowledge. That was the Nasa Venishma. It was a new idea. Anyone that says Nasa Venishma in any other situation is crazy, because it's not possible. The only time it's possible is if you have God as the source of the of knowledge in Yadis. It's the only case you have Nasa Venishma. So otherwise it's an absurdity. What Rabbeinu Yonah says is that in any other case the person will be absurd. So you see that the idea of Nasa Venishma only makes sense if a person understands and sees Torah Misinai. Otherwise it's ridiculous. That was really the Chiddush of Nasa Venishma. The first time and the only time that such a phenomenon was possible. So he says like this. So he says that the same thing is true for a person who doesn't have any knowledge. A person is going from a stage of ignorance to a state of ignorance to a state of knowledge, and that is every person has to make that trip, because he always starts off ignorant. A person isn't born with knowledge; starts off ignorant. So he says it's an Eitzah Tova. And what is the Eitzah? Once you have the system of Torah, then what you have to do is, You have to apply total conviction. A person should have total conviction based upon the Torah and the Chachmei HaTorah. That's what the Torah means. Al pi haTorah sheyirucha. Al hamishpat sheyomru lucha tasa. Al sasur min adavar sheyagidu lucha yomru small. That's an extension of Nasa v'Nishma. What does it mean? It means that you should follow the Chachmei haTorah. Because the Torah created a system that the truth should be able to be given for generations and generations. It was done. It was God's plan that was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and was implemented, was set up a whole system of Chachmei Masorah that would be for every generation. So therefore, a person must have a total commitment to what the Chachamim say, to the Chachmei Yisrael. That's the commitment to, that's the Al-Pi HaTorah Sheyirucha, Al-Mishpat HaShalom, Yonucha L'Tas, L'Sosno Sheyigin L'Fa Yaman Esmol. It's a Kabbalah. It means conviction must follow. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. The parasha is a parasha mishpatim, Shmos Chavdal. V'moshe Amar Leila Rishem. Rashi says, we're going like Rashi. It says before, it was before Matan Torah. So it says that you have. So it says V'yel Moshe Leila Rishem Atov Aronot Vaviu. That means Matan Torah. V'nigash Moshe Levadal Rishem V'hem Leigosh V'mo Yaloimo. Okay. Vayova Moshe Yisapalom Eis Kol Divrei Hashem Veis Kol Mishpatim Vayan Kol Om Kol Echad Vayomru Kol Advar Mashad Divrei Hashem Nasa. Okay, Nasa. Then you have Vayichtav Moshe Eis Kol Divrei Hashem. He wrote everything down. Vayashkin Baboker Vayivim Mizbeach Tachas Ahar Ushteim Esrei Matzeva Lushneim Osor Shiftei Yisrael. And he built the altars. Vayishlach Esnar Bnei Yisrael Vayalu Olos Vizbuchu Zvachim Shlomo La Hashem Parim. Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adam Vesmardonos Chatzi Adam Zorkan Mizbeach. Vayikach Sefer Bris. The first part was carbon, because they have to have carbon in order to become part of Poly, in order to become Poly Yisrael, rather, in order to become a Poly Yisrael. Vayikach Sefer Bris. Vayikra Bosniyam. Vayom Rukol Asher Dibar Hashem Naase V'Nishma. So he read the Sefer Bris from Bereishis, Rashi says, until the Matan Torah, and also the mitzvahs that they received in Mara. And what do they say? Their response was Kol Hashadibar Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. So what does it mean? It means to say that even though they didn't understand at that time what the ideas behind the Sefer, and they didn't understand the philosophy of the Derech HaChayim, which the Sefer really was giving them. They didn't understand it, but nevertheless, it was above them. It was at that time they have to realize they were just coming out of Mitzrayim, and the Sefer was too great for them. They weren't able to really understand the Derech HaChayim that the Torah presents is really the proper one. But their response was Kol HaShadibra Ad Hashem Nasa V'Nishma, because we know that it's from God, as Dibra Ad Hashem, that God spoke these words. So therefore we have a total commitment to all the chiyuvim and all the mitzvahs, and we have a total conviction that by doing these mitzvahs it will be to our benefit, and we will continue to understand it. Nishma will continue to understand it until we reach the level where our conviction stems from our own knowledge. I want you to know something. You see, in Nasa v'Nishma you have two things. You have Nasa means that they accept the authority of God, and therefore they have total conviction that it leads to perfection. But also v'Nishma means that it's not really complete. You didn't really reach the level until you understand why it's the best way from the system itself, without the authority, without the acceptance of authority. You see, so it comes out. That's where you get caught in a difficult dilemma, because people are emotionally attracted to the Maimah, you see. They're emotionally attracted to the Maimah. They feel that, on the contrary, the greatness was that Nasa v'Nishma, that will do even though we don't understand. But then what happens is like this. What happens is that when you complete the circuit, when you finally complete what the objective is, it comes out that you aren't on the level which is emotionally appealing. Because the level that's emotionally appealing is, and I'm doing it even though I don't understand it. But then when you understand it, see, conviction comes from the understanding. It doesn't matter. There's no more reason to do it because of authority, you see. Now you're doing it because you realize it's the right system. Yeah. So you see that Yadis does not, in Yadis, ultimately, the highest level is where the soul recognizes the good, because the good is a part of, is real, and the soul follows that which is good naturally. But the first level, Nasa, is an Eitzah, like a Maniana says. It's an Eitzah Tova for a person who hasn't, who doesn't have the knowledge. That Eitzah Tova is only possible, and it has to be. You must do that. Eitzah Tova doesn't mean, you know, you take it or leave it. It means that's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is that a person must be able to, in one word, just to sum it up, what it means is that a person must be able to have conviction, you see, within his emotions without knowledge. It's an interesting phenomenon. See? It really is, Nasa v'nishma really is the death blow to a person who is, who does both sides. To a person who just, to him emotionally what appeals is just for blind faith. A person who loves blind faith will not, has trouble with the nishma. And on the other hand, a person who just likes to be moved by ideas, you see, and doesn't like to be moved by emotional conviction, he can't work out the nasa. See, his emotions come up against the nasa. That's right. That's the opposite. That's right. As chachmasa merubah maasav means that a person that will only, his emotions are that he only accepts it when he sees the idea. He can't have any conviction within emotions without knowledge. You see, he can't have that conviction. He has that soul. He has that. In other words, he can't. See, you have to understand. Like I always say, what is Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is the breakdown of the individual imperfections of the emotions. And you have different types of states of mind, different characters, different phenomena, emotional phenomena. Here you have an example of the two emotional phenomena. You have one person that's attracted to blind faith, and you have another person that's attracted to philosophy. Both of them are wrong. Both of them are wrong. Both of them are not rational. A rational individual is the person who can have a very, very strong, 100% conviction from the realm of his emotions alone, without the knowledge. Of course, it has to be based on the fact that he knows that something is true. But he has no knowledge, no conviction that's stemming from the knowledge itself, in terms of what he's doing. But yet he can summon all his emotions, rally all his emotions, and have total conviction based upon the fact. You see, based upon the fact. Not based, without the influence of the philosophy. And on the other hand, you have it is a person who is not, who isn't looking for a certain blind faith and doesn't feel that the whole, that his religiosity is expressed in the greatness of his religiosity is expressed in his ability to follow God blindly. That's the whole thing, to follow blindly. Yes, it's true. He has to do it. But that's not what the ultimate perfection. Because if that was the ultimate of his perfection, so then he never would want to understand. On the contrary, understand would be something that he wouldn't want to have. Because the more he understands, now the less he follows blindly. See? It is a total rationality. The Nasa and the Nishma. The totally rational individual. That's a hard level. The application to this case is as follows. That a person, of course, Nasa v'nishma didn't happen once, Maimad Har Sinai, because God foresaw that every generation has to accept the Torah. So you have to have a Kabbalah Torah in every generation, really. It's just the Maimad Har Sinai, you have to have one event. But after you have that one event, there's not going to be any more events. What does the Pasuk say? After Maimad Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, Kol Godol V'lo Yosef. A great sound, and it will not continue. That means there will not be any more Maimon Har Sinai. Kol Godol V'lo Yosef. It's not going to be every generation. Only once. That's it. God doesn't break the laws of nature as a common practice. It had to be done at one time, but Kol Godol V'lo Yosef. But that's it. No more. One time. That's it. But after that one time of Maimon Har Sinai, how does it continue? Because Maimon Har Sinai was worked out that it is evidence for the first generation and for the next generations. through the system of the Chachmei Masorah, which Moshe Rabbeinu set up. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Zekenim. What was all that? Moshe Rabbeinu and the Zikne Yisrael and the Yeshua Ben Nun and the Zekenim straight down to set up a system that every generation should have an opportunity. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that that's what Chazal was saying over there. Chazal was saying that you should do Nasa V'Nishma in every generation. Nasa V'Nishma means, but the Nasa V'Nishma over here relates to the Chachmei Masorah. The Chachmei Masorah. They should have a total conviction, so far as the Chachmei Masorah are concerned, that he follows everything that they say, regardless of whether he understands the philosophy behind it. He may not understand the Maran Avochim, but he follows what the Rambam says. Right? That's the system of Chachmei Masorah.
Yes.
Of course, with the intent of completing it. I mean, I have to emphasize that. With the intent of completing his understanding. Both. If he doesn't do it with the intent of completing his understanding, is enough. Just to put it in an example, what's the required result? What's the required result of Yardas? Very simple: to understand the Yad HaChazaka and to understand the Maran Avochim. To give you an example, but you can't. That's on the second side. You have to ask that question. V'chol shechachmasa merub min ma'asav. So he says, "Shelo yoma eshne halacha zuva kaimena, eshne kol haTalmud vaya kaimena." See, I'll learn all the, even with regard to halachas, the person will say, I'll learn all the halachas and then I'll do it. The inko yomai lo teskayim chachmasa. Why? Ki tzorach tikun hamidos techila v'achar kach chachmasa miskayemis. So now the Rabbeinu Yonah gets down to it. Why is it that a person isn't capable of this conviction without the knowledge? Why is it that he insists on having knowledge? You see? The answer is because he doesn't have tikun hamidos. What is exactly, that's what many of this, more precisely, is tikun hamidos. Tikun hamidos means the ability to go against his desires. See, let me just explain it this way. When a person understands it philosophically, he doesn't have any problem anymore. Why? Because now he really sees that it's the good. And he understands why this is the good. So he's doing what is naturally good for him. There is no strain. There's no need to coerce himself, you see. But as long as the person doesn't understand why it is the good, so then his emotions, make their own judgments. So his emotions want something else, and the emotions are telling him that that is the good. Now he doesn't have the ability to go against his emotions, you see, and to frustrate them. He can't do that, even though his mind tells him that the good is over there. But once, of course, he really understands it, he doesn't have to go. His emotions aren't frustrated because his emotions want the good, and they switch over from the material good to the real good. Once he makes, that's the person that's Oved Me'ava. And Oved Me'ava means a person who has made a transition. Everybody wants the good. That's why the Oved Me'ava is in such a felicitous state. Why he's so happy? He's so happy because he's one person. His emotional desires have been transferred. So he's just like a kid that's given everything that he wants. I mean, that's basically what it is. Because his emotional desires have been transferred from the physical to the metaphysical. So now he's just enjoying himself, constant enjoyment. He's constantly doing the good. You see? That's Oved Me'ava. But some people would be able to do that. They'd be able to be Oved Me'ava, and they would not be able to be Kovishus Yitzron. Why? Because they don't have the ability to place a constraint on their emotions, you see. So you would say, if it wasn't for the Pirkei Avos, you would say, so fine, such a person will eventually become a very great person, become an Oved Me'ava, because he could always be Oved Me'ava, and he can't be Oved Me'ira. He can't be an Oved, he can't be a Kovashis Yisrael. See? He has to become a very great man. So Pirkei Avos says, no, he'll never make it. He will never make it. You see? Because as long as he caters to the emotions, as long as he has to satisfy the emotions, and he doesn't have the ability to go against the emotions and to place himself in a state of psychological pain, you see, that means that the moving force in his soul is the emotions. And as long as the taivas are the moving force in his soul, you see, he'll never get there. Cannot get there. It's impossible. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Ki tzorach tikun hamidos techila v'achar kach chachmasa miskayemis. It's only if the man is capable of overcoming the emotions, you see, then, and going through the painful state, then he could reach the level of an Oved Me'ava, where it's, that's chachmasa miskayemis. Chmasamaskayemis means where he's an oved me'ava. When a person's oved me'ava, a person keeps that which he loves very much, that which is very dear to him. So when he's an oved me'ava, he loves the whole system of chachma. So therefore, he doesn't lose anything. His chachma is always with him. But that's the that state can only be reached if he's capable of going through the other state. Don't make the philosophical error of assuming, look, I can't go against my emotions. I'll wait till I gain the knowledge, and then I'll do it naturally. See? That does not work. That's an impossibility. That's what this mind is saying. That's the essence of the mind. But the good point Maimon was making. Was before Maimon of Sinai. But it means, the Rambam explains that. The Rambam explains that there were two types of amunah. When it says, Vayamina by the Shem of Moshe Avdo, that was the first amunah. That was an amunah, but in the back of their mind, they still weren't that positive. Until it was enough to follow. You have to know when the person is irrational, say, look, this looks pretty good. It looks like there's something here to follow. So there was an amunah. But it wasn't a total amunah, the Rambam says. Until it was the Maimon HaSinai itself. So when they said Nasa Nishma, the assumption was that Maimon HaSinai, Moshe Rabbeinu told them exactly what's going to occur. And based on that, they said Nasa Nishma, even though it didn't occur yet. But they still assumed that it was going to occur. And based on the occurrence, they said Nasa Nishma. That's what it means. It means level of Tikkun Midas means any person. Why does the Rabbeinu say Tikkun Midas in general? What is Tikkun Midas in general? Why doesn't he say which Midas? The answer. The point is that the man cannot go diametrically in opposition to his own emotional desires. He can't do it. He just doesn't have that. He doesn't have the power of a covetous Yisrael. Covetous Yisrael is a necessary prerequisite. He can't do that. That means the man is not a rational man. It means the emotions are powerful. He has to forego what his knowledge tells him. Before the conversion process, Oved Me'avo is the conversion process of the emotions that are converted into, translated into metaphysical desires. That's a different person. You can't have one, you can't have the, they enjoy reading, most people enjoy reading about the Oved Me'avo and the Rambam, and they can identify with such a thing. Even though often it's unjust, but the but nevertheless they can identify such a situation because it seems like a pleasurable situation where you don't have to go against your emotions. The covetous Yisrael people don't really want to give too much respect to because it goes against the emotions. But that's what that's Nasa V'Nishma is called. Nasa V'Nishma. Person have a way of distorting them. So that's why the Chazal talk about Tachbulos HaYetzer. Tachbulos HaYetzer has many different disguises. That's why right. And there are many different disguises. So you have to be careful. Yetzer Hara in the guise of a great philosopher. He puts on the lavush. That's why the Gemara says by the Sartzvar Shel Esav that this Sartzvar Shel Esav was a sultan. Who was the Sartzvar Shel Esav? So one of the Chazal says. Kidmus Talmud Chacham Nirolav came to him in the appearance of a great Talmud Chacham. Looked like this is the right thing. This is the right way. It was a part of his nature. Came to this was gave him the appearance that this is the right way. This is the Talmud Chacham with a beard, looked like learning, looked like a real Kidmus. Kidmus was there, but it wasn't. You have to be careful with the emotion. Yeah, that's a good question. Nasa V'Nishma really is a process that you don't go through in a linear, it's not a linear process. It's not a linear process. At first you start off with a Nasa, and then you go to the Nishma. They both, it's ongoing simultaneously. There's Nishma, there's Nasa. It's both. It's intermittent. Every person has his level of Lishma. We spoke about it last night. A lot of times it's Lishma, and then there's not Lishma, there's Kovash Yisitro. You go between, unless when a person really reaches total perfection, then he's in the level of Oved Me'avo. But before that time, it's intimate. Yeah, so according to that, there's two different, just to review, so there's two different aspects to this maimer. The first aspect is that Yiras Cheto Kodemus L'Chachmaso. There's a difference between Yiras Cheto Kodemus L'Chachmaso, and there's a difference between Chachmaso is Meruba Mimasa. You know, understand? No, I'm sorry. Yes, cheto kodemus lachachmaso is different than Maisa of Meruva Mechachmasa. And just like the Chachmasa Kodemus Mirescheta is different than the case of Chachmasa Meruva Mechachmasa. What's the difference in the two? So according to Rabbeinu Yonah learns, the first one is a matter of motivation. What the person's motivation is. What is his relationship to Chachma? Is Chachma simply a game? Or Chachma is really a tool of reality, a tool of perfection? And the second one is, there's two things that you need. That his attitude towards Chachma must be that it's reality. That Chachma is really his only salvation. That's the idea. Chachma has to be his salvation. That's the first one. Yireschetto, Kodemis l'chachmaso means that Chachma is his salvation. That's what the name. The second one is that he has the ability that the Chachma that is his salvation is not his salvation via the effects of the Chachma. But he has a commitment to the Chachma, even though he doesn't really see the effects. But he knows based upon authority that this is the correct way. Two different aspects. Both of them really comprise perfection. That's why you have this one mimer, both of them together. Two different aspects. That's really the sum of the whole mimer. This mimer is perfection. Next one. Yud. Who are your omer? Kol sheruach habrios nochaymenu, ruach hamakom nochaymenu. There's an interesting Rashi. Interesting for Rashi. It's a sideshow. Rashi, I guess, he says, a different Rashi. He says, the Chachmasom es Kayemes. He says, Yireschetto Kodemes. Shebechol Masov. He says, not talking about necessarily about doing mitzvahs. He says, Shebechol Masov, Bechol Nyonov, Mekademas Yireschet. Ubo Lafonov. Shiniz Karhu Oleo, Bechol Asher Hu Ose. He's constantly aware of Yireschet. He says Chachmasa Miskayemus. He says Ma'isav Miskayimim Biyado Umatzliach B'Chol Asher Yifne. The Kivan the Yiras Shemayim Omedes the Einof Kol Shor Ein Nichshol B'Masav V'Hu Nizkar B'Yiras Cheto. It's an interesting pshat in Rashi. See, Rashi's talking about Hatzlacha, success. In every endeavor that he does, he's successful. So Rashi says that when is he successful in every endeavor that he does? He says only if his Yiras Chet precedes his Chachma. It means like this. I'll give you an example. It means like, let's say, for instance, a person has great psychological knowledge. Great psychological knowledge doesn't mean he's going to be successful. Why? Because the point is he may really understand other people, and it may be necessary for him in order to be successful to understand other people. But the fact is that his own emotions are always interplaying with the situation. Whether it's people or whether it's endeavors, his own emotions are always, there's always an interplay. So while he could be a great chacham and abstract knowledge, but the fact is what's going to destroy him is he has to work on an emotional basis himself. So the point is that his emotions are going to step into the picture and they're going to blind him and he's going to make stupid mistakes. You see. Yiras cheto kodemus l'chachmasa means that he always has before him what does it mean the yiras chet is always before him? It means that he's always in an objective state. See, the man recognizes that this is the area of this whole area is an area of danger, and he proceeds in that area with regard to his emotions only with chachma. He is removed from the area. A person can have knowledge, but in terms of activity, he can be involved also. And once he gets involved also on his emotional level, so then he loses. Then he won't be matzliach. In order to be matzliach, he has to be removed from the situation. That's what Rashi says. Interesting shot. Now, kol shehu ayoma, kol sheruach habriyas nochei menu, ruach hamakom nochei menu. Kol shein ruach habriyas nochei menu, ein ruach hamakom nochei menu. Okay, so what does that mean? It means a simple memra, it seems. Memra says that Rashi gives a paraphrase. He says it means simply that there's not too much really on this. Rashi just says it means like this. It's a chazal that says kol mi shehu ohav lamata. Everybody that's loved lamata means on earth is biyadua shehu ohav lamayla. So you know that he's loved above, that God loves him. Okay. All right. Rabbeinu Yonah is like this. Rabbeinu Yonah is a little more specific. He says it has to do with a specific endeavor of man. Anyone who through his dealings with the Brios, Masa Matan, means in business, is fine. V'chula makirim ki be'emuna em abrius, and everybody recognizes that when he deals with the people, he deals with them truthfully. U'kinamin mesechet Yuma. Kol Talmud shekore v'shone, any person that's kore v'shone, that learns, v'nose v'nosein be'emuna em abrius, and he deals with the abrius in trust. Be'emuna means in trust, it means that he deals honestly, faith. Okay? Ma abrius omasulav. What do people say about such a person? Ashrei ploni shalomah Torah. Happy is so and so who learned Torah. Ashrei ovav, ashrei imo. People recognize that. Happy is his father and his mother shalomdu Torah, that they taught him Torah. And that's what it means. What does it mean, ruach hamakom nochemeno? It means that through that, God loves him. It doesn't mean, in other words, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's two ways to learn this memory. One way to learn the memory is it's a barometer. It's a barometer. If people like you, so then God likes you. That's one way. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't learn that way. It doesn't seem to be a general rule anyway. But the... So he learns differently. He says that it means that... So he says what it means is that a person, person in business dealings is where the... A person's selfishness and greed is most in the fore, because he wants to gain something for himself. So the year of his dealings with the people are on an honest level, trusting. Be'emuna means trusting. It means he trusts people, people trust him. So people recognize that this individual is a person who lives in accordance with the truth, you see, with truth. It means like this. It doesn't mean halachic violations. Halachic violations, of course, is a Russian. But it means even above and beyond the halachic violations. Because, you see, man recognizes perfection. Man has the ability to recognize perfection. Not so much when he's involved personally. Then it's very difficult. But in general, you see, man does recognize perfection. You see that people who are great people, the world does recognize. The world, 2,500 years ago killed Socrates, but today he's very praised. See, because those people had emotions against them; they were emotionally involved. When people are emotionally involved, when man is emotionally involved, he doesn't see straight. But man still has the ability to see properly when he's not emotionally involved. The general trend of humanity: most people have that ability. That's why you see that years later. Hundreds of years later, people who are great are recognized as great, even though in their time they were destroyed. Galileo was tortured. But today, every scientist recognizes Galileo as a great person. They recognize those that condemn them as evil people. So people are able to recognize what the good is, to a great extent. What really stops them is their own emotions. It's not the inability to recognize the good. There is an objectivity inherent in man that recognizes the good. So the point is that everybody recognizes the value of an honest person. That honesty is in line with truth. Truth means emes. Chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the seal of God is emes. Truth. So when a person lies and deals in a way that is not truth, doesn't represent truth, so those actions everybody recognizes as imperfection. Even though He may not have violated a halachic action, but nevertheless, people recognize that this person is not in line with truth, and truth itself is a value. So people don't praise an individual like that. See, on the contrary, they condemn him. They say he's dishonest. So mankind does have the recognition of honesty and truth. There is that recognition. So that's why the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham that has dealings in business and deals in truth. So this person, people trust him, and they trust his word, and they recognize that he's a person that lives according to the highest values that exist. You see, so these people they praise him, and when they praise him, if he's a person that learned Torah, so then through that they praise the Torah. So that's why it brings them closer to God. So therefore, his actions are such that people gain from him. You see, and God. People gain from him, and because he's a Talmud, it's only a Talmud Chacham, by the way. according to Rabbeinu Yonah. It only means a person of Talmud Chacham, because if he's not a Talmud Chacham, so then God doesn't have any benefit, so to speak. I mean, God doesn't have any benefit from anything we do anyways, philosophically, but we're just using it in terms of a mashal, kavi yachal, that, so to speak, that God gains means to say that people turn to Torah, Kiddush Hashem. People turn to Torah. So therefore, what they're saying is that when people see that this person is trustworthy and reliable, so then it's a Kiddush Hashem. That's our Benny Yonah learns the Yemimra. And he says on the opposite way. He says, and Kol She'en Ruach HaBrios Nochem Enu, and people, and anyone who the Brios do not recognize, in other words, he doesn't deal on an honest level. So then he says, God doesn't have any satisfaction from him, and Lo Yenoki Me Hashem Me Israel, he will not be clean from God and from Israel. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah learns the memory. Okay, that's the memory of Rabbeinu Yonah. That's what Chazal say, that the first thing that they ask a person, one of the Chazal say, they ask a person when it comes to the next world was Mekach or Memkach. How was your dealings with people? Was it honest or not? That's the thing. Did it reflect the idea of MS, of truth, or did it not? Okay? That's the Chazal. That's one pshat.
Yeah.
The second pshat that Rashi says, that Rashi's pshat is different. Rashi's pshat is, he says, if he's ohov mi shu ohov lamata is biyadua shu ohov lamala. That's a different pshat altogether. According to Ben Yonah, ties it together via the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. But the Rashi's different. Rashi learns a different pshat. What is Rashi's pshat? You have to understand Rashi's pshat. What does it mean? People like him, so therefore God likes him. It means to say that he's living in line with reality because people like him? No, you see some of the greatest tzaddikim, people hated them. So what does that mean, that Ruach HaBrios is no chayim enu? What does that mean? Yes. See, Ovamata means like this. Ovamata means his personality. That's what it means. It means people like him. He has a nice personality. People enjoy being with him. He's a gomel chasodim. He's kind to people. He's friendly. He goes out of his way. He has good midos. See, now people naturally like a person like that. Of course, they naturally like a person like that for their own benefit, because they gain from such a situation. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The point is that people like such an individual. Now, what does it take to be such an individual? To be such an individual requires only one thing. Requires that you have to be able to look at humanity with a feeling of love, of ahava. And the way that a person could look at humanity in general with a feeling of love is only if he can abstract himself from the situation and look at humanity as a whole. He looks at humanity, man represents the Tzelem Elokim. Man represents, this is God's creature. If he can relate to another human being on that level, then he will be kind to that human being, he will help them, he will be an Avram Avinu. See? He's not involved in his petty emotions. Human beings are not a source for him to satisfy his petty emotions. If that's the way it is, it'll never be, it's impossible. It will not be Ruach HaBrios Nochem. It may be one or two friends that he has, you see, that he's in cahoots with against everybody else. So they will like him. But that's not called Ruach HaBrios. Ruach HaBrios means that everybody likes him. He's fine, he's good to everybody. He's always on the losing end, you see, so to speak. Such a person, because he's always giving to other people, and he himself is really always losing. But it doesn't matter to him. Why doesn't it matter to him? Because he's not involved in the emotional pettiness. What he has a different view. Humanity? What? No, his sense of self is there, but his sense of self has withdrawn. His sense is different. It's different. It's a totally different sense of self. See? He looks... Right. It's hard for me to describe, but what it means is that he looks at people, he identifies. There's also if a person overcomes his bad midos, there's a certain identification with humanity. That's a natural identification with humanity that should result. You see, a person like Einstein, Albert Einstein was a great thinker. I mean, he didn't lack too much when it came to the intellectual area. And his love of knowledge and love of thought was very great. Yet he went and he spent hours and days and months, and he was very weak, and he went to help the cause of Zionism and to build Israel. And the man, he dragged himself. He writes something. He dragged himself through the streets. He said, "I just dragged my body along to do this." Why did he do it? He could have sat peacefully and studied and thought and great thoughts. Why did he do it? Because he was on a level where he had reached a level of natural identification with mankind. He had a love of mankind. The person is a great person. Thinks of mankind. Thinks of mankind not just now. Mankind in the future. Concerned about what's going to happen with mankind in the future. There's a natural love that he has for mankind. That love stems from the fact that he's overcome his pettiness in relationship to man and could look at man in a big, on a big scope, different kind of a scope. He sees man in a different way. And that's why Albert Einstein felt that it was so important to establish Zionism and to to establish against the evil of the world and to establish a Jewish nation, that they should have a place. And he sacrificed much of his time. Of course, he wasn't on the level. He didn't have the level of Yadus. You know, he didn't have the Yadus. But on his level, you see what the man did just naturally. That's a level of Adam. That's a very high level. That's a person that's Ruach Abrios Nochem. You see, to this day, as a matter of fact, I think there's a like they always bring back Albert Einstein. I mean, people have a love for him. They love him. They have a love for him because they recognize that certain quality that he had. That's Ruach Abrios Nochem. They see the greatness of the man. You see, they could sense it. A person who's on that level, then his Ruach HaMakom is Nochayimeno. Ruach HaMakom Nochayimeno. So God, it means he's reached a level where, a level of perfection, where God is satisfied with his nature. It means that he's reached a level where he's living in accordance with the perfection. He's in line with God. See? That's Rashi's pshat. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he will be liked, because he might be disliked because of a certain position that he takes that's against the people's emotions. So he might be hated. But the reason why they hate him is because of the position that he's taken. Not because of the person. Not because of the person. It's the position that they dislike, and therefore they can even try to kill him. But they could even want him to be destroyed. But it's not because of him. Not because of the person. It's because of the position, and it's unfortunate, but sometimes the world is not in line with the right way, and therefore the person who's a tzaddik has to implement the right way, and those who are not in line with it hate that person. But it's not the person; it's the ideal he represents that they hate. See, that's not called ein ruach b'ries nochem. That's the truth. Okay, he says Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus Omer. The end of this Mishnah. Those have been hooking us on that. Shina shall shachris, the yayin shall tzorayim, the sichas yelodim, the yeshivas bateknesios shall amei haoretz, motzien es ha'odim en ha'olam. It's a new area. It says like this. It says that there are four things, or three things, that remove a person from this earthly existence. It means that it leads him to total failure. Okay? Total failure means in terms of both in terms of perfection and also in terms of his own in any perfection, which is like any of the five perfections. Alright, he says Shina Shashachas. Shina Shashachas means a man sleeps late in the morning, gets off to a late start. Okay, the Yayin Shel Tzaharayim. Shina Shashachas is an example. It doesn't have to be Shina Shashachas. It's a fine thing. People think if you get up early in the morning, you're a hard worker. Depends what time you went to sleep. When you see 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you got up at 6. But it is a fact that people think that there is a certain work ethic, so to speak, like attached to that getting up early. I got up 5 o'clock this morning. Terrific. The Yayin Shel Tzaharayim. Yayin Shel Tzaharayim means wine, drinking wine in the afternoon. It means getting drunk. Okay, a person enjoys getting drunk. The sichas yeladim, so he has a good day. He gets up late and then he gets drunk in the afternoon. The sichas yeladim means really leitzonis. It means joking around. That's what it means. Joking around. Okay? And yeshivas bate knesios, shalamei aretz. And it means sitting around in the gathering places of the ignorant, the ignoramuses. That means, you know, like the clubs, these different clubs. It's the various clubs, like, you know. Health clubs. Now it's the health clubs, yeah, it could be. Depends. I mean, it depends what the guy goes there for. But that's the Shibatik Nisasana Arat. It's clubs, the clubs. The heaven knows their stuff. Same thing, just different names, same phenomenon. Okay.
Motzin
is these take four things, remove a person from the world. Remove a person from the world means results in a person's total failure. On all counts, financially, spiritually, metaphysically, every area it runs.